Cześć, ja nazywam się Anna Orkisz, a wysłuchacie kolejnego odcinka podcastu Po Królewsku. Dzisiaj odcinek naprawdę specjalny. Jesteśmy nadal w temacie serialu The Crown, którego premiera ostatniego sezonu właśnie się dzisiaj odbywa. I dzięki uprzejmości Netflixa miałam możliwość porozmawiać z twórcami tego serialu. Ja jestem entuzjastką tego serialu od wielu lat. Mam oczywiście swoje uwagi, swoje zarzuty do tej produkcji, ale uważam, że jak nic innego przyczyniła się do popularyzacji tematu brytyjskiej monarchii, więc moja ekscytacja na przeprowadzenie wywiadów z osobami, które przez ostatnie 10 lat tworzyły ten świat, w który lubimy się zanurzać, była naprawdę ogromna. Rozmawiałam z dwoma osobami. Jedną z nich jest Annie Sulzberger. Annie Sulzberger jest szefową działu, który zajmuje się wyszukiwaniem informacji historycznych głównie, które potem zostały użyte w serialu. Po angielsku jej stanowisko to Head of Research. Po polsku przyjęło się mówić researcher, ale myślę, że jest to dosyć nowe stanowisko, dosyć nowa funkcja, więc wiele z Was mogło po prostu o niej nie słyszeć, dlatego też tłumaczę. A moją drugą rozmowę przeprowadziłam z Robertem Sternem. Robert jest szefem castingu do The Crown, czyli to właśnie on dobierał wszystkich aktorów do postaci i dzięki nim na ekranie mogliście zobaczyć na przykład Claire Foy, Matta Smitha, Josha O'Connora czy Emmę Corrin w kolejnych sezonach The Crown. Muszę zaznaczyć, że obie rozmowy, zarówno ta opublikowana dzisiaj z Annie Sulzberger, jak i ta, która będzie opublikowana za kilka dni z Robertem Sternem, są w języku angielskim. Niestety nie znalazłam żadnego dobrego sposobu, aby je przetłumaczyć na język polski. Jeżeli macie ochotę zobaczyć je z polskimi napisami, to zapraszam na mojego YouTube'a Po Królewsku. Tam, jeżeli włączycie funkcję napisów, to wyświetlą się automatycznie wygenerowane napisy po angielsku, a potem w kółeczko obok i wrzucacie automatycznie przetłumacz na język polski. Może to nie będzie najlepsze literackie tłumaczenie, ale to jest takie tłumaczenie, które mogę dla Was tutaj zorganizować w miarę moich możliwości produkcji tego podcastu. A teraz zapraszam na rozmowę z Annie Sulzberger. Jestem bardzo ciekawa, jak będzie Wam się podobała. Ja zapytałam Annie między innymi o to, czym zajmuje się researcher na planie serialu The Crown, czy były jakieś trudności w znalezieniu źródeł do różnych wydarzeń i w jaki sposób były sprawdzane źródła, które już były znalezione. Zapraszam Was serdecznie.
Hi, Anna, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, thank you.
A bit tired after all those interviews so far?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of halfway through either an adrenaline rush or a come down. I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Okay. Maybe I'll introduce myself very shortly. I'm Anna. I'm actually running a royal podcast in Poland. As we have a lot of royal enthusiasts here, even though we don't have a monarchy. But I have to say, it's such an honor to meet you. Ever since I got to meet you virtually via the podcast, the companion podcast to The Crown. I was so fascinated by your job, and it was actually the first time I've ever heard about a researcher on the show. Yeah. So that was something very interesting for me, because us running a podcast myself, I also am an amateur researcher. It's such an honor to meet you.
Oh, thank you.
I got to know who a researcher on the show is, but most of my listeners and viewers probably don't. Could you tell us who is a researcher actually in a TV show, and what is your role, or what was the role of researchers in the production of The Crown?
It's very hard to hear was. It's 10 years. It's odd to hear, think that it's over. So the role of the researcher, and it, for us, it really started as script researching, is that you work with a writer to give them whatever information they need to write the story that they want to tell. Now, in the case of The Crown, Peter had obviously an understanding of the framework. So usually each season has a prime minister. That's the tenure we look at and the dynamics and between the two spheres of power, etc., and the family itself. But it's really up to us to create a timeline for him of the major events that we should be looking at and the major character beats to be looking at as well. And see what just takes his fancy. And, you know, I remember the Great Smog, he had in the back of his head, like, I think this thing happened in the early 50s. I think a lot of people died. I wonder if we could use it as a moment for when Churchill, you know, some of his power starts to erode as Elizabeth is becoming queen and sort of accepting her role as queen. So we would try to find moments and character beats that worked really well together thematically that helped further our character narrative in general for our major characters. And so we would, you know, we go away, we start building the research materials needs. We write lots of documents. They could be tiny ones, like, here are some Shakespearean quotes. You could have Cecil Beaton saying while he takes their picture. That was something that we really liked in the first few seasons. Or it could be really long, quite academic pieces. We, you know, researching the constitutional implications of Charles and Camilla's marriage took a lot of effort, because there isn't one British constitution, so you're trying to look for one document that doesn't exist. But we needed to really understand all of the moments of interaction between Charles, the clergy, his mother, Camilla herself, where is she emotionally in this story, and so on. So they really range what we present him with. And then we just sat and we talked through things every day about what surprised us. You know, I'm an American. The script producer, Una, is Irish. When Abervan came along, Peter obviously knew about it. We didn't. And so we stopped him from making the assumption that everybody knows this event. Maybe we shouldn't include it. And we would have discussions about whether or not this deserved a place in our show. And it did, partially because of how the royals interacted with that event, the horrible event, and then also what they learned from that event, how it stayed with them for so long. So it's a lot of debate and discussion about what deserves a place in the show we're trying to tell. Not a history of Britain, but the show, the very specific show that we're trying to tell.
And you're saying that it was we that did it. So you had, you weren't alone. You had the whole team.
Yes. So series one, very small team. And we were overworked. And then by the time it was successful, we were able to expand out, which was great. And that really allowed us. So by the end, there were four researchers plus me. And we even had further consultants brought on for very specific subjects. And that allowed us to expand out the research capabilities sort of the team for other departments that needed it. So actors, casting directors, directors themselves, locations, graphics, anything, anyone who needed to know that the research that they were basing their work on had been vetted, right? They came to us.
And as there are many books and memoirs and documentaries about royal family, but they barely speak from their own perspective about what happened in their lives. How have you determined what is true or what you think is true based on the enormous amount of things you have to, you know, take into consideration?
Yeah, well, the first thing we always do is we just try to identify as early as possible what are the few things they have said in public, right, that have come from their own mouths. So in the case of Prince Philip, we actually have many essays that he co-authored about his belief system, science, religion, industry, etc. So we were able to really build up a good character study of him. We read lots of letters that they've written. We speak with people who were close to them to try to particularly sort of corroborate the versions that we're reading in books and articles. And, you know, what's the Margaret you remember, right? Not of all the six books, all of whom have a very different take on her, what's the one that you said, nah, that's the one that I think was the most spot on. So we sort of vet our sources that way when we can't hear from the horse's mouth.
Mm.
But there are more people out there who were very close to them who have written about their time. So former private secretaries and so on. And that does give you a pretty good sense of the person, and you have to I think you just have to do an immense amount of research to feel confident that you're doing the right character building.
Definitely, but as there are many sources, was there a situation when you knew that Peter Morgan wants to have a particular event in the script, but it was super difficult to find sources about it or story behind it? Was there a point where you have struggled with sources?
We tried to stay away from that. You know, usually he wouldn't, that the kind of order of what you've just said would be swapped. So he would take the lead from what we had found. And he might say, can you find me in the research, if it exists, an event that would put these three people in the same room? And we might say, yes, actually, there was, you know, a drinks event at Buckingham Palace and the Prime Minister came and so did the other Commonwealth heads of state. So it may have been the next year or the year behind us, but it's, you know, we're at least able to say, yes, there is a chance these people were in the same room together. And now you can have your conversation. He didn't often try to make history fit his narrative, if that makes sense. But there, of course, are times, because this is a drama, where we would tell him something. A good example of this is the Jackie Kennedy episode in series two. We found that anecdote about her maligning the palace and Elizabeth herself in a Cecil Beaton diary entry, because he happened to be having dinner with her the night after and she just badmouthed them. And so he was, from that, we found out that it was the same time, around the same time that Elizabeth goes to Ghana against the recommendations of her, of the entire cabinet, essentially, to make sure it doesn't go fall to the Soviets. And so we were like, wow, okay, let's use this as a moment to look at two women in power and the very different power that they yield, one over the public and one who has an actual legitimate place as a head of state. So he then will say, you know, I want to have the meeting of Jackie and Elizabeth that we know took place later, where some of this comes out. We don't know if Elizabeth ever found out about what Jackie Kennedy told quite a few people about her. But for us, that confrontation allowed us to explore a theme that was, you know, worth it, I suppose, for us to try to imagine what Elizabeth would have to say to someone who has such stature.
But now we're into season six. So, and I'm pretty sure you did a lot of research for season six as well. And probably, you know, a lot of more than it was shown in those four and next six episodes. So is there anything you're thinking, it's such a shame we don't have a screen time to show, because it's such an interesting story in this period of time?
I think there's some really interesting, you know, Blair stuff that we didn't really have time to show, but I think also Peter felt he'd covered quite a bit of that in his other programs. And, you know, I would have loved to have tried to find out, and the way we managed to find out about her disagreements with Thatcher, I would have just personally loved to have found out how the Iraq War and so on affected Elizabeth and as that, you know, head of the army, commander of the army, and head of state watching this happen. That was something that always interested me during earlier seasons with Suez, for example. And what role do you play when your country goes into war? I mean, there were tons. There's, you know, some lovely stuff about the Queen Mother and Margaret's relationships. I've always been really interested in Margaret's children. She raised two wonderful children, and she seemed really thrived, actually, as a mother. And that was something that Elizabeth, I think, would very much say herself. She struggled with being a working mother in that way. She's very close to Margaret's daughter. So that was something I wish we had had more episodes to explore. You know, these two women, as they get older, what are they proud of that they've done well in their lives? And what does being an heir and a spare mean that they have more freedom to do and as adults, and their priorities? Yeah, there's an immense amount of material that you wish you could feed in to the show, but just doesn't have a place. And it's, I think what Peter's actually very good at is saying, this is the story I'm telling, this is the theme I want us to focus on, and we can't have noise
around it. So we just want to focus. Yeah. But I've also heard in one of your interviews that you became an expert on horses.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Will you continue this passion, behind the But also in real life.
I have absolutely no passion for it. I was just, the way that this often worked is series one, whoever was sort of on call that day, you just had to become an expert in the scenes that were coming up, you know? And I was the person on call when we were trying to figure out which racehorse to choose for an episode, but also the horse breeding. And that ruined my Google history. It was just awful. I had to learn how to actually describe horse breeding. And luckily, by about series three, I think, we started to get more experts to come on. And I would just say, just tell me what to do. Please don't make research. Just tell me what to do. So we would do the sort of background research of which horses she had at what times and which races they won. But they would be able to then tell me what language to use, the vernacular, and then all of that. So that was very helpful.
So from that time, you didn't have your YouTube search all in horses.
Yeah, exactly. But... searching YouTube breeding. Not great. Not great.
Okay, but as the time of the crown is unfortunately coming to the end, and you've been there for 10 years, is it even possible to say goodbye to the crown?
It's going to be impossible to say goodbye to the people of the crown.
Mm.
But I really feel strongly, I've always felt strongly, that we need to stay far enough away from current history where we, you know, we have the hindsight to understand the context of these events. So I actually feel very satisfied that we've ended where we have. I feel that we really had the capacity to fully research this show, because there's been nothing kind of, it's not active journalism. It is more history. It's nice to step away from it now and, you know, bring another period to life where we can use that to reflect on how we live today and learn lessons from the past. It'll be hard. I found it quite hard looking at past casts.
Oh yeah.
To say goodbye to all of our Phillips, all of our Elizabeths, you know, that it is an extraordinary breadth of work. And I'm certainly aware that I will probably never be on a show quite like this again. I don't know if these shows will ever exist, you know, again. So many people ask me how to get into research. I'm like, you have to find a writer who really respects research, and then the production hires lots of researchers, you know, and it really comes down to that demand. And a lot of it's just not available as much in many productions. So
that's I'm actually quite moved when you said about past, you know, Elizabeths, yeah, and past Phillips. It's yeah, I have all those emotions when I, so season by season and together with my friends and my community, we lived through every episode and tried to analyze what happened. Right. It's, yeah, it was an amazing 10 years. And thank you, Annie, so much for being
so much
part of this.
Oh, very kind. Thank you. I'm going to start crying now.
Aww. Thank you. Still have a few interviews to go. So good luck with those.